way to kind of counteract this is to develop corporate strategies and corporate mindsets that will encourage different people to kind of give everybody equal opportunity to voice their opinion. No matter what gender you are, no matter who you are, everybody's voices should be heard. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the meeting, the voices that are heard are voices of people who are loud and more aggressive. And a lot of times we do not hear opinions of people who are not as vocal. And I think the role of a leader is to create this more inclusive environment where everybody is given an opportunity to speak up.
Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. Whether you are starting your leadership journey or you're looking to lead up or step up your leadership journey, you're in the right place. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host, and I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I'm visiting with Kate Soslava on leading through gender differences. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo, whether you are starting your leadership journey or you're just wanting to be better at leading. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer, and I am so delighted to have joining with me today, Kate Soslava. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you, and I'm really excited about this topic because this is kind of, quite frankly, why we named the show that we did, as my producer and I were talking about it many years ago. And that topic today that we're talking about is leading through gender differences, because let's face it, we're not all the same. Even people within the same gender are not the same. So we do have those differences. Thank you, Kate, for being willing to come on the show.
Sure.
All right. Let me give you all a little information and background about Kate. Kate Soslava is an associate professor of accounting at the Bucknell University Freeman College of Management. Kate relies on her graduate training in linguistics and accounting and her prior experience as an auditor at Ernst & Young to examine the verbal patterns of corporate disclosures. Kate received her MBA and PhD in accounting from Rutgers University and her master's and ABD in linguistics from the Minsk State Linguistic University. And I did not want to mess up that word linguistic, but I just did. So Kate, thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, I know. It's a long name for university. It's a university in Belarus, and Minsk is the capital of Belarus, and this is where I'm originally from. So that's why I got my undergraduate degree.
That is so great. So Kate, if you would tell us all about your leadership journey.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm originally from Belarus. I grew up in a family. My mom is an engineer. My dad is a professor. And I got the, you know, education kind of focused in linguistics. I always dreamt of being a translator and maybe working at some kind of big events, maybe like UN, translating different speeches. And it sounded super exciting to study foreign languages for me. So my country has a wonderful university, linguistic university, where kids can go to study foreign languages. And that's what I did. I studied English and Italian and Polish, three languages as my foreign languages. Yes, it was a really exciting, great time. And then life happened. And I decided to move to another country, to the United States. And I basically wanted to continue my education. Mm-hmm. And I came to the United States. I did MBA in accounting. I worked in corporate world for a number of years. I was an auditor for Ernst & Young. And then I worked for Hearst Media as their financial analyst. Then I couldn't stop going back to school. I decided to go back to school and get a PhD in accounting. And I guess it was my dad's influence. I kind of wanted to always be a professor to impress him, I guess. So here I am. I'm a professor of accounting, and my research is somehow I managed to connect my research to my linguistic education, which was very surprising to me, because when I went into accounting, I thought that my linguistic background will never help me. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong, because actually now the research in accounting is focused on the language that executives use when they are communicating with investors. So it kind of became useful at this yeah. point in my career, yes.
That is so awesome. Boy, I can relate. I can relate on, you know, wanting to make your dad happy and then making it kind of work. And yeah, I hear you. Man, that is what a journey that you've been on. That's really phenomenal. So working with organizations like, the other thing too, you mentioned Hearst Media. Is that spelled H-E-A-R-S-T?
Yes.
Okay. So my maiden name is H-U-R-S-T.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I kind of thought, that's good. Yeah. Let us talk about these gender differences. So how have gender differences impacted your work?
Yeah. So I would say I definitely experienced them myself. So I have a lot of anecdotal evidence from my career in corporate life when I was an auditor and I joined Ernst & Young. And it's actually interesting that on average, accounting firms higher number of women than men, like, you know, at the kind of introductory roles, you know, when you are just like fresh out of an MBA program or master program in accounting, they tend to hire more girls than boys. But then when you look up the ladder, you look at the top positions, you notice that this gender parity does not hold. So it's kind of like in the upper echelons, it's mostly a male-dominated world. Mm-hmm. And I definitely noticed that. And it's in parts this motivated my research. I wanted to, it was kind of like paradoxical, right? We have so many girls who go to colleges. We have so many girls in accounting programs. Mm-hmm. But then if you look up the ladder, when you look at the executive positions, the proportion of women is not representative of, you know, this kind of initial population that goes into accounting and finance. For example, Linda, if you were to guess, what proportion of women CFOs in the United States on average, like across publicly traded companies, how many do you think are women versus men?
Yeah, you would hope that it would be like 50-50, but I'm gonna go 35%.
It's actually lower than that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's around 11 to 12%.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the CFO is, you know, that money person, you know,
yep.
Who the CEO or even board, they're looking to that CEO for guidance.
Yes. And if you guess the percentage of women CEOs, would you say it's less than CFOs or?
Yeah, I think it is. I had a guest a few weeks back. It's like 1%, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends on, but it's tiny. So yeah, we definitely have working. This kind of shift that happens. But then at the same time, we all know the benefits of gender diversity. There is a lot of research that shows that it actually helps to have different genders participate in decisions, just like in the household, right?
Right.
Husbands
right.
and wives, they work together and they do a better job. And then if you look at corporations, there is evidence from research that shows that more diverse teams do a better job at all levels. If there is evidence about the board of directors that mm-hmm. shows that when board of directors is more gender diverse, the decisions kind of more sound and more ethical when it comes to CEO role. There is evidence that women CEOs make decisions that benefit corporations and that kind of result in higher stock prices. And women CFOs also make certain decisions that, especially during the times of crisis, like global financial crisis, mm-hmm. companies that had more gender diversity, they did better than companies that, you know, kind of way more homogeneous in terms of gender. So having said that, we don't have enough women in leadership roles and we know there are benefits. So maybe companies that can harness this potential, that can bring more women into, you know, kind of higher positions, they can be leaders in the industry, they might be outperforming. So, and this is what I want to study. Yeah.
Wow, that is absolutely phenomenal. And it will, that's really interesting. So, okay, we know there's an issue with there's not enough balance in the different genders, especially in top leadership roles. So then what are gender differences that leaders need to be made aware of?
Sure. Well, one gender difference I find is in very basic thing. It's just the way men talk versus women talk. How different genders talk differently at work. I looked at different metrics, but the most basic metric is just the length, the number of words that different genders work. And Linda, if you were to guess who talks more in business meeting, is it a man or a woman?
I would guess a man does.
Yes, and that's what I find.
Based on my experience.
Yes, and that's what I find. I find that men tend to talk more than women. So if our leaders, if leaders know this and consider this, a way to kind of counteract this is to develop corporate strategies and corporate mindsets that will encourage different people to kind of give everybody equal opportunity to voice their opinion. No matter what gender you are, no matter who you are, everybody's voices should be heard. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the meeting, the voices that are heard are voices of people who are loud and more aggressive. And a lot of times we do not hear opinions of people who are not as vocal. And I think the role of a leader is to create this more inclusive environment where everybody is given an opportunity to speak up.
We're going to take a quick break with Kate Soslava, and we're chatting about leading through gender differences.
As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC training programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC training programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm visiting with Kate Soslava on leading through gender differences. Yeah, it's a really good point. Really great point. So when can gender differences be more prominent? When are they, you know, most noticed? You talk about meetings. What other kind of aspect?
So I guess it's the gender differences, like in what scenarios they become more pronounced. I think they would be more pronounced when we have this underrepresentation, when we have women who definitely underrepresented, who are a minority, and also in situations when the culture, the firm culture, does not promote inclusivity. We all know that there are a lot of biases, right? People have biases, which is normal. And one of the biases is women kind of good at, I don't know, taking care of some maybe boring but important things like note taking. So when a group of people, you know, gets together for a meeting, it might be assumed, especially if it's only one woman in the team, that, she will take notes. Right? Yeah. And suddenly this creates this imbalance and difference, right? Or women are better at maybe taking care of some kind of household chores, even in the office. And suddenly we are having a meeting and there are pizza boxes left, kind of assumed, okay, a woman will take care of these boxes and maybe take them to the kitchen. So basically those situations when there is imbalance, there is not enough guidance, not enough tone from the top to notice and correct this, I would say.
And how can those that are in leadership positions, if you know, you just made some great points and they're like, oh, wait, wow, that happens in our environment. How can that leader take action and what could they do?
So I think the first step is acknowledge biases. For example, there is a well-known bias of similarity or and also called affinity bias. People are more likely to associate and maybe encourage people who look like them. So, and what a leader can do is invest in training and make people aware of these biases. And this becomes especially important when we are talking about promotions and hiring. Also, it's important to start changing the mindset. A lot of times people have this mindset, oh, we are trying to increase diversity and that's why we are hiring less qualified candidates. That's not true. Gender diversity is not equal to less qualified candidates. And again, creating workspace where everybody's voices are heard. Some people are more aggressive, more vocal. Let's make sure that even if women talk less than men, we still allow them time and space to voice their opinion. Another thing that leaders can do is start thinking, be more thoughtful about creating teams, right? When you're creating a team, is it a diverse team? Does it have different genders represented? When we have team building activities, do we include everybody? Are we considering needs of maybe single parents? Maybe they cannot show up for that happy hour at 6 p.m. because they need to go home. And are we considering abilities of all employees when we are planning those team meetings? So there is a lot that needs to be changed. But I think the first step is acknowledge that there is bias and try to work towards educating people about it.
That's really powerful. So would you share any experiences that you've had where you felt like either A, and actually maybe two stories, A, that you saw a lot of, you know, gender biases, right? And then the second story of maybe where you saw an environment or been in an environment that supported different genders and supported the culture.
Sure, yes. I can share experience from my own professional life. And as a professor, as an academic, I go to conferences and present my research. And, you know, after I'm done with presentation, there is a networking opportunity where you meet people from different universities. And a lot of these conferences are pretty big. So people come from all parts of the world to participate. And of course, we have different cultures, we have different ideas. But what I noticed is that people do not, they kind of raise different topics with professors versus women professors, for example. So when it comes to, and because I would be in a group discussing, you know, research and talking to different people, so I would hear what other people ask male professors. And most topics that are raised with men professors have to do with what they are researching, what are the tools that statistical tools that they are using. Kind of people take them seriously. What are your tools? What are your skills? And then when it comes to women professors, especially if it's a male professor talking, they kind of assume that the topics that women are more interested in would have to do with family, with a relationship. It's not about, it's not work. As professional, it's not as technical as when they talk to men. So this is definitely a bias that exists. And I think it's, again, because women are underrepresented. And as a society, we have this kind of set views of what women are interested in, what women can do, and what women cannot do. So this is an example, I guess, of an environment which might not be as inclusive. And then an example of environment that is super inclusive, I'm actually really lucky to work at a university that one of the goals of our university is to make sure we create a very inclusive environment. And in fact, in our College of Management, we have achieved a gender parity. We have kind of 50-50. And it's a very nurturing environment.
That's great.
So I feel I have so many wonderful colleagues, and I never experienced this type of bias when I'm in my home institution. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no, you're good.
I think it's also very important for us as educators to have this environment, because we want to teach both boys and girls that they can achieve their potential. They can do anything that they put their minds to. They can achieve great things. And they see us as example. They see both men and women, our professors, who, you know, we all worked in professional world, and you know, now we are professors and we are happy to give them advice, and they see that, and they see that it's possible. They, you know, it's a great example for them.
That is really great. That is really powerful. So why is it important to respect and be open to the opposite gender?
Well, it's important to be open to this because there are so many benefits in diversity. We can work so much better. We can bring certain things to the table that might be unique. For example, in one of the papers that I study financial analysts and how they write their reports. And what I find is that both genders can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. Women are very good at writing well. They write mm-hmm. very readable reports, reports that are easy to understand, easy to follow. Kind of the structure is very clear. And then men are very good with adding quantitative information to those reports. So mm-hmm. reports created by male analysts tend to have more quantitative support for the report. So imagine a team where you have both men and women working together. They might produce a report which is even better than a male that consists of only men or only women. Mm-hmm. So we can learn from each other. We can produce a better work product when we work together.
There is that is rather than competition, it's a complementing.
Yep. So. Collaboration. Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome, Kate. This is such a fascinating topic. So as we kind of get ready to wrap up, tell me, what keeps you motivated?
I'm a curious person. I like to learn all the time. I like to read about new things. And right now, for example, I'm super excited about artificial intelligence, about the advances that we have, the ChatGPT, and the potential that this offers. And, you know, I think as a society, we have so many new things coming our way. The progress is just has been so fast, even in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, kind of this is what keeps me going every day. I wake up and I am hungry for more knowledge. I'm looking forward to new discoveries that we have coming.
That's great. That's really great. So, Kate, have you ever been interrupted? And if so, how did you overcome that interruption?
Yes, of course, I have been interrupted, and I'm sure I'm guilty of interrupting other people as well. And, you know, and with experience, what I actually learned is that interruptions is part of communication. And some interruptions might not be bad. And in some cultures, interruptions are completely acceptable. And for some people with different kind of abilities, interruption might be a sign that they are actually very, very interested in a topic. So interruption can be a sign of engagement. And I sometimes see it in my students when I bring something up that is very close to their heart and they cannot wait to ask questions about it. So they start interrupting. But it shows that the topic is interesting for them, right? They are not falling asleep. They are not dozing off. Yeah. So the way I manage this type of, it's like a kind of like a good interruption, I would just tell them, let me finish this presentation and I will give you 10 minutes at the end for a Q&A. So you kind of manage this interruption. And then, of course, interruptions can be rude, impolite. Mm-hmm. When a person, I don't know, wants to dominate conversation or wants to show off that they know something that, you know, maybe somebody doesn't know in their opinion, right? So that's kind mm-hmm. of like an unpleasant interruption. And then, yeah, of course, you need to be brave. And maybe the thing that's important to do is make sure a person is aware that they are interrupting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can even quantify that and say, hey, you have interrupted me 3 times already. And and maybe that number will kind of make this person pause and say, oh, wow, I've been interrupting, you know, I'm not aware of that. So, yeah, this is my take on interruptions. I think it's something that we as humans, we are imperfect and we do that. Right. We interrupt each other.
That is great. Well, thank you. It has been so delightful chatting. How could have our listeners, if they wanted to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'm on LinkedIn. I am on Bucknell's website, and I'll be happy to make new connections, both with your listeners. I'll be happy to.
Awesome. Well, it has been so much fun chatting with you about gender differences. So thanks again, Kate, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, everyone, for joining and listening to our show today. It was so much fun speaking with Kate, and her points are extremely poignant, and they're such great opportunity for women and to exercise our strengths and go after those things that we desire. If you haven't already checked out our YouTube channel, we'd encourage you to check out our YouTube channel and also join our Facebook group page where we continue the conversation. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us. I want to remind you that you have strengths waiting to uncover, possibilities to realize, so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, y'all.